were the wise men, and why did they start following a star? For me, the wise men aspect of the Christmas story has always been the most curious. Mary and Joseph were on their way to take part in a census. The shepherds had angelic messengers announce the birth of the Messiah. So of course they had to go check it out. But the wise men, they saw a star and then decided to take a long trip to bring a newborn from a foreign land some really extravagant gifts. Seems strange. Let's journey back over 2,000 years to find out who these guys were and why they decided to make the long trip to Bethlehem. Or, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. If you remember Paul Harvey, hit the like button. First, what do we even call these guys? Do we call them wise men or magi or we three kings of Orient are? Let me know in the comments below, what is it that you typically call them? There are no wrong answers. I'm just curious, what do you call them? Now, traditionally, these guys are called wise men following the translation in the King James Version. Most modern translations stick with wise men and leave us a footnote saying that these men were royal astrologers, often called magi. As great as the song is, we three kings, these guys were not kings. They were, however, wealthy and in the elite class, but they weren't kings like you and I understand it. The scripture says that they came from the east, which would mean that they came from the Parthian Empire, formerly the Persian Empire, and what we call today Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, parts of India, and Saudi Arabia. Though they are not named in scripture, tradition gives them these names that usually tie them to some subculture in the Parthian Empire. Other cultures claim that there were people from their heritage that made the journey as wise men, like Ethiopia claims this, and even China claims this. We don't know either way, but we do know that the term magi is Persian, and Persia is to the east of Bethlehem, so it's a safe bet to say that they were from there. Next, how many wise men were there? Well, if you count from nativity sets, there were three, but the scripture actually never says that. There were three gifts given, so most people assume there were three wise men. In reality, there was probably quite a few people in their traveling party. These wise men were part of the elite class of Zoroastrianism, so they probably had servants and attendants and translators and who knows, maybe even a little drummer boy. Next question, when did they come? Was it the night that Jesus was born? Probably not. Sure, we put them in our nativity sets, but they weren't actually there that night. It would be more accurate to put them somewhere else in your house like they were traveling, but that would be weird, so don't do that. So what do we know from scripture about when they came? We know that about that time that Jesus was born, they arrived in Jerusalem and met King Herod. Why did they go to Jerusalem and not go directly to Bethlehem? Well, Jerusalem was a major city with historical significance as the seat of power for Israel. So if a newborn king of the Jews would be somewhere, he would be in Jerusalem, not in a backwater place like Bethlehem, right? King Herod in Jerusalem had no idea about any of this. So when the wise men come to him, he asks his leading scholars about where the Messiah is supposed to be born, to which they quote Micah's prophecy of Bethlehem. Herod sends these wise men onto Bethlehem, but asks them to report back after they find the Messiah. After they find Jesus, God warns them in a dream not to return to Herod, so they travel home in another way. So why is all of this stuff important when dating when the wise men came? Because when Herod realizes that he's been tricked by the wise men, he sends troops to round up all the male children in the vicinity of Bethlehem under the age of 2, and he kills them. Why would Herod do such a terrible thing? Because a new king was a threat to his throne and to his dynasty, and he wanted to eliminate any competition. But knowing his order was for those 2 years and younger, we know that the wise men visited at least before Jesus' second birthday. Now for my favorite part, why did the wise men come? We talked about how the wise men were Persian royal astrologers, but let's dig into that a little bit now. There's a term in the Old Testament that is critical for us to understand if we are to know the motivation behind the wise men. That term is Chaldean. Now, a professor could probably give us a 3-hour lecture on the Chaldeans, but I want to give us the short version. The first time we see this word in Scripture is actually in Genesis 11, when Abraham's father is noted to live in Ur of the Chaldeans. Here we see that the Chaldeans are pretty clearly a group of people. Now, these people, they were very, very intelligent and very politically savvy. Now, while they weren't Babylonian, they became very tied to the Babylonian Empire during its golden age, and then pivoted to the Persian Empire when they conquered Babylon. They were the elite class no matter who was currently ruling. The Chaldeans were especially educated in politics, astronomy slash astrology, and world religions. During the time that Daniel served as a high-level government administrator in both the Babylonian and the Persian empires, the Chaldeans were right there with him, filling most important government roles. It was the Chaldeans who convinced Nebuchadnezzar to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. And it was most likely the Chaldeans who tricked Darius into throwing Daniel into the lion's den. Now, why would they do all these things? Well, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were Hebrews, not Chaldeans. These Chaldeans wanted to consolidate all government power to their class and to their people. Now, it's thought by many scholars that the term Chaldean began to change its meaning during the Persian Empire, not to simply refer to the ethnic group, but to refer to the ruling intellectual class in general. After all, that's what this group of people had become synonymous with anyway. So how did all this lead to a trip to visit the Messiah in Bethlehem? Now, we don't know this for sure, but it's highly likely that it was Daniel's influence on these people 500 years earlier that set everything up. That's right, Daniel, an exiled young man turned high-level Persian governor, led this delegation to a humble house in Bethlehem a half a millennium later. Wanting to be close to power and curious about religious prophecy, no doubt they were close to Daniel. At least the ones that didn't try to throw him in the lion's den. Now, Daniel probably shared with them the prophecy of the 70 weeks found in Daniel 9. Undoubtedly, the most specific prophecy in all Scripture about when the Messiah would be born. You should check it out. It lays out specific moments in history to the year. Only God. Daniel probably shared with them tons of other prophecies too about the coming of the Messiah. Now, because they love the stars, they probably latched on to a prophecy of Balaam. It says this, "I see him, but not here and now. I perceive him, but far in the distant future." Distant because from Balaam to Christ is 1,400 years. He continues, he says, "A star will rise from Jacob. A scepter will emerge from Israel." Chaldeans from the time of Daniel passed these prophecies from generation to generation until that star finally appeared. And when it did, you know they had to go check it out. Last thing, why did they bring gifts? What's a nice thing to do? Don't show up to see a baby without bringing a box of diapers.
Good boy, son.
No, here's the real reason. They brought gifts like any diplomatic delegation does, even to this very day. It's just what you do. But these gifts were also symbolic of who Jesus is and what he would do. Gold is the symbol of royalty and divinity. Frankincense is a type of incense burned as a pleasant offering to God in the Old Testament. Jesus would sacrifice his life as an offering to God to pay our sin debt. Myrrh was a bitter, embalming spice. Jesus, he was born to die. These gifts also served a very practical purpose. Mary and Joseph were poor, and these gifts represented more wealth than they had ever seen. After Herod realized that the wise men were not going to come back, and therefore he had to resort to the mass murder of toddlers, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill it." Just like in the movies, what do you need to flee from home? Cash. Joseph probably sold these items to fund their escape and to fund the time that they lived in Egypt in hiding. If you connect the dots back far enough, Daniel, God's faithful servant, set into motion the chain of actions that would provide for the Messiah to be saved from a bloodthirsty king. That's planning that only God can do. We've covered a lot today. Thanks for sticking around for the whole thing. If you don't mind, let me know one thing that you didn't know that you learned from this video. I'd love the feedback, and the engagement with the video really helps YouTube know that this is a video that it should promote. So go ahead, comment away. I hope this background on the wise men not only gave you more knowledge, but also strengthened your faith. The three guys with gifts riding camels in your nativity set, they may seem like extras in a divine birth story, but there's so much more. They're people who waited for generations to see the star rise from Jacob, who God would use to help the Messiah's poor family escape from certain death. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, includes a guy who would never see the Messiah in his lifetime, but was faithful to pass on his hope even while living in a foreign land. Who's the good news of Jesus for? It's for the poor and the unimportant. That's why angels joyfully announced it to the shepherds. But it's also for the elite. That's why God hung the star in the sky that would lead the wise men to Christ. The gospel is for everyone. So may we truly seek Him this Christmas. Hey, I hope you learned something in this video. If you did, would you consider sharing it? And be sure to subscribe so that you can catch the next Bible Tidbits video when it drops on Thursday. Before we go, I have a special invitation and something I want you to do. Go ahead and subscribe to LifeWords channel here on YouTube. They have hundreds of great videos waiting for you to discover. So if you like being encouraged and challenged by God's word, make sure that you are subscribed to this channel. I'll link it below, and it is free and it is totally worth your click. We'll see you next time. Grace and peace.